on the paper 11A. This paper is an analysis of the comments received on the proposal to clarify the meaning of effective in paragraph 7 of FRS 1. The proposed amendment to the basis for conclusion of FRS 1 clarified that if a new standard is not yet mandatory but permits early application, that standard is permitted but not required to be applied in the entity first IFRS financial statement.
Leo, excuse me, your mic wasn't on you. Would you start over, please?
Sorry. This paper is an analysis of the comment letter received on the proposal to clarify the meaning of effective in paragraph 7 of FRS 1. The proposed amendment to the basis for conclusion of FRS 1 clarified that if a new standard is not yet mandatory but permits early application, that standard is permitted but not required to be applied in the entity first IFRS financial statements. 60 respondents commented on this amendment. About the 70% of them agreed with our proposal to amend the basis for conclusion of IFRS 1. However, some respondents think that we should not amend the basis for conclusion because paragraph 8 of IFRS 1 is already clear, and because the basis for conclusion is not authoritative. They think that the amendment is unnecessary and that if additional guidance is necessary, then this guidance should be provided in the standard. We disagree with these comments because in our view, to solve this issue, we should amend the basis for conclusions and not the standard, because the standard is already clear, and in our view, a basis for conclusion that is not consistent with its standard can cause divergence in practice. Indeed, this issue arose because of a perceived inconsistency between IFRS 1 and its basis for conclusion. We think that the committee should recommend to the ISB to finalize the proposed amendment to the basis for conclusion of IFRS 1. Our proposed changes to the proposed amendment are highlighted in Appendix A of the paper. We ask the committee members whether they agree with our recommendation.
Before we open it up to the committee, Patricia had an observation on this one I'd like her to share with you.
I was concerned about changing words in the original basis for conclusion. I have no problem with adding BC 11A. But I am concerned about actually changing the words in BC 11. To me, it's sort of like rewriting history. That is the reasoning that the original board gave when it issued the standard. And I feel that it's somewhat inappropriate to change those words. While the changes in BC 11 seem fairly innocuous, I'm concerned about what kind of precedent it would set to allow the Interpretations Committee or even a subsequent board to change the words in the basis for the original board decisions. And I think in the past, we've handled this in other ways. Renumbering the paragraphs or footnoting the paragraphs.
So you don't have any problem with BC 11A being added as a footnote?
I have no problem with BC 11A being added. I just object to the word changes in BC 11.
Because by its designation as BC 11A, it's something new.
Right.
And the audit trail is cleared. Okay. Laurence?
I hear Pat's concern, but I'm afraid that if we don't modify BC 11, then we have to keep the word the current version of IFRS. And we have this issue about what does it mean, current version of IFRS? Even if we have BC 11A. But anyway, my point was more on BC 11A with the last sentence that says, consequently, if a first-time adopter chooses to early apply new IFRS, that new IFRS will be applied throughout the period presented in its first IFRS financial statement, unless this IFRS provides an exemption or an exception that permits or requires otherwise. The this, I just don't know whether it refers to this standard IFRS 1, because we are in IFRS 1, or whether it refers to this, the new IFRS, that, for instance, has a prospective application, and therefore you could apply not throughout all periods presented. So I think we need to clarify what this refers to, whether it refers to IFRS 1, where you would apply the new standard throughout all periods presented, which I think is normally what you would do, or whether, because, say, the new standard has a prospective application as from a certain date, which falls in between the period from your transition date to the date of first application, you may not have all years restated.
So you've used the term the new twice, so you would, that would be your proposal, that we change this to the new.
No, to IFRS, unless, well, this...
No, in this circumstance,
I think
this IFRS means IFRS 1.
That's how I think it should be read.
And that's how I would normally use the phrase in the basis, but I take your point because, given the circumstance we're talking about here, it could be read as meaning, as referring to the other new IFRS.
Yeah.
Well, it obviously isn't clear because I read it just the opposite.
Because... IFRS 1 says forget about any transitional provisions in other standards.
Unless
transitional provisions are in IFRS 1. So the exemptions and the exceptions are listed in IFRS 1, so that's where you have them. And so this means that if you apply a new standard, if you are not in the IFRS 1 exemption or exceptions, you must apply all throughout all periods.
No, your point is well taken. Luca and then John?
I have more or less this problems of Lorenz, because I, on the contrary, tried to read this IFRS looking to the new IFRS.
Well, then I'm not alone.
Yes, okay. Because the issue that I can see is exactly the one presented by Lorenz, so that you can have some prospective or application, or you can have some standards that you can apply in advance, but only starting from a specific date. And therefore, I think that some clarity should be made, because if the rules is to follow IFRS 1 and to use, in any case, a full comparative application of the standards in two statements that you present will probably or could be useful to add that in this case you have not to apply the specific transition rules establishing the new standards, because otherwise I think that the loop will be quite normal.
Okay. John, and then I have a follow-up question.
To proceed to recommend to the board the amendments. I mean, personally, I'm not sure they're necessary. I would have always read the standard as permitting either the current version or new versions. I do agree with the point raised by the board member about amending the basis. We did have another issue at a previous meeting where we were discussing amending the basis as well, and some concerns were expressed about, well, it's not our basis, it's the basis of the people who wrote the original standard. So I do think we should leave BC 11 as is, and then if it's necessary to explain in 11A how we're now interpreting BC 11, I think that's a more appropriate way of dealing with it.
Actually, that was going to be my suggestion, so great minds think alike. So we, as I understand it, we would not amend BC 11 because that's somebody else's property. We probably have to then change the lead in the BC 11A to explain why it's even there, because otherwise people might reasonably say, well, it at a minimum seems contradictory, potentially. So we'll work on that, but the general sense is that otherwise, then we need to clarify what this means. But other than that, we're okay. Am I correct in that assessment? Guido?
Staff may also want to look at whether we could leave out the last sentence at all. I think it's addressed in paragraph 9 of IFRS 1 already, so maybe we don't need the last sentence in BC 11A. But just a proposal.
Laurent, you're going to disagree?
Yeah, I disagree because it is important that constituents know when they are using a not yet effective version of a standard whether the transitional provisions apply, and if there is a stated effective date where you cannot apply as from a date, whether it applies or not. So I think that we should reemphasize the fact that IFRS 1 has a principle that it applies retrospectively. Normally, that's the principle, except for those exemptions and exceptions that are listed in IFRS 1.
Okay. John?
I must have misunderstood the text then. I read it the same way as you did, and I thought that this IFRS was the new IFRS, which was doing the trick for me. So, but go back to what you said, Lawrence. Bike rack now, that what's the proposal is that if there is a special transitional provision in the new IFRS, and I'm applying IFRS 1, I cannot avail myself of this.
Right.
Okay. So I had read it the other way around. And are we sure that's the right answer? Yeah.
That is what paragraph 9 of IFRS 1 says.
It says retroactively all the way.
Yeah.
It says that IFRS, paragraph 9 reads, the transitional provisions in other IFRSs apply to changes in accounting policies made by an entity that already uses IFRSs. They do not apply to a first-time adopter.
Okay. I don't think it's clear in this world.
Well, yeah, we need to work on that piece. Other than that, general support.